Turn with me, if you would, back to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. First Corinthians 4, in one verse of Scripture right here, the Apostle Paul got to the heart of the truth. Our text is one verse, and it's a wonderful verse. The Apostle Paul here gets to the heart of the gospel. He gets to the heart of it all, the heart of the matter. And he did it by asking a question, or some questions, some very soul-searching, pondering questions. I love it when we come across Scripture that really makes you think. Don't you love that? When you come across Scripture that really makes you think. It digs deep. It digs way down. Way past that superficial surface of religion. Just that standard superficial surface of religion, and really gets to the heart of the matter. Well, that's what we have right here. In one verse, the Apostle Paul asked, who, what, how, and why? Who, what, how, and why? Let's read it together. It's verse 7. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7. He said, for who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? That's a wonderful verse. What soul-searching questions those are, honestly. Who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? That's the question. That's the heart of the matter right there. That's what we need to get to. He asked that coming off of verse 6, saying at the end of that verse, no one needs to be puffed up above anybody else. We just had this chapter read to us, and that's what the whole chapter's about. He's saying nobody needs to be puffed up at all. The end of verse 6, he said, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. We don't need to puff ourselves up. We don't need to puff other men and women up. Don't puff anybody up. Why, Paul? It's because we all come from the exact same lump. It's because in our flesh, we are all the same. Paul said in Romans 9, we were all cut from the same lump. The same dead lump. That's an important thing to realize. Dead. Ephesians 2 says, to all of God's people. It's talking to God's people. Paul said in Ephesians 1, this is exactly who I'm talking to. In Ephesians 2, it says to all of God's people, you were spiritually dead just like everybody else. He said you were captive to the adversary just like everybody else. He said, your conversation was in the lust of your flesh. You were a child of disobedience and a child of wrath, just like everybody else. James chapter 5 says, Elijah was a man subject to like passions just like everybody else. You think about these men, these prophets, and we do. We thank God for them, and we're amazed by their stories. But Elijah was a man subject to like passions just like everybody else. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, just like everybody else. David said, my sins are ever before me, just like everybody else. Isaiah 53 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the scripture says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of it is destruction. Isaiah 64 says, we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are filthy rags. Tough to hear, isn't it? Psalm 14 says, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. But, don't you love that word? Thank God for the word, but. Turn over to Genesis 6. Genesis chapter 6. Verse 5 says, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Verse 8 says, but Noah found grace. Man, the gospel's good news. Out of everybody, why did Noah find grace? Out of everybody. You know, Noah was a man subject to like passions just like everybody else. Noah was a wretched man just like everybody else. Why was Noah and his family spared? Really, why was Noah and his family spared when everybody else and everything else was destroyed? Why? What made the difference? What made the difference? It wasn't a what. It was a who. Verse 8 says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In the eyes of the Lord God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jehovah, Emmanuel, Messiah, Jesus Christ. Paul said in our text, he said, let me pose this question to you. All right, let's get to the heart of it. When every soul on this earth deserves the same punishment, God is a holy God who said he is going to punish sin. And when all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and every soul deserves the same punishment. We were all born with the same nature. We all produce the same sin. If mercy and grace are going to come to us, and if that mercy and that grace is going to spare us from the wrath to come, who made us to differ? Who made us to differ? Now let's ask this question. Do we make ourselves to differ? Because that's what superficial, surface religion says. Well, now, if you don't make yourself to differ, well, can a leper change his spots? How am I going to do that? If we differ, it's because we found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We are what we are by the grace of God. What that means is, the Lord did it. The Lord. Who maketh thee to differ? Who did that? The Lord did it. That's, if you want to get down to the heart of the answer, the Lord did it. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 11. Exodus 11. Moses is giving here the announcement of the final plague of God on Egypt. And verse 4. Exodus 11 verse 4. Moses said, "Thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. From the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more." Verse 7 says, "But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that you may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel." Who made the difference? The Lord did. The Lord did. And the Lord did alone. He alone made the difference. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans 9. Romans 9, verse 6, it says, "Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel." Meaning, it's not a race, it's a chosen people of God, a particularly chosen people. Verse 7, "Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise, at this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. If any man finds grace in the eyes of the Lord, it's not because they influenced him in such a way as to bring grace on them. It's because that's what the Lord wanted to do. The Lord did it. Verse 16 says, "So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? Doesn't he have the right and the power and the ability and the authority to make whatever difference he wants to make in whomever he wants to make it? Isn't this God we're talking about? That's what Paul's saying. Aren't we talking about God? The answer is he most definitely does have the power and the authority and the ability to do what he wants with whom he wants. So here's the question. Who maketh thee to differ? Who maketh thee to differ? And here's the answer. The Lord does. It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. All right. What seemeth him good? We know who. Now let's look at Paul's question of what. Go with me back to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. First Corinthians 4, verse 7. He said, for who maketh thee to differ from another? The Lord does. Now he says, and what hast thou that thou didst not receive? What hast thou? What do we have because of the difference he made? What do we have? The simple answer to that is all things. All things. All things in him. Every spiritual blessing that can be received. You want to glory in the Lord. You think about that. Every spiritual blessing that can be received. What all do we have? All things in him. Go with me over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1, verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. What have we? What do we have in him? We have election. We have election. In Isaiah 42, God the Father said, behold my servant. Speaking of Christ, he said, I choose him. I put my spirit upon him. The Father chose the Son. And we are chosen in him. With him, we have God's election. He chose us before the foundation of the world. We have holiness. That we should be holy, he said. Purity. Innocence. He said we'll be without blame in him. We have love. In love. In Christ is in the Father's love. All of the love of God is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4 said, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. What have we? We have adoption into his family. We have sonship. Made to be sons of God. The scripture says, joint heirs with Christ. Joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Inheritors of all things with Him. I mentioned to you before the Bible study that our brother Luke is preaching in Danville this morning for the brethren there in Danville. Brother Don Fortner pastored that congregation for so many years, and he's gone on to be with the Lord. But I'll never forget, I was young, and I heard him tell the story. His daughter Faith had just gotten married to her husband Doug, and he said that after they got married, he made Doug a set of keys, and he handed them to Doug. He said, "Doug, here's a key to my house." He said, "Here's a key to my garage." He said, "My car's in there. The keys are usually in it." He said, "I got some tools, whatever you need, just go in and get it." Doug took those and he said, "Really? Whatever I need, just I can go in and get it? Anything?" Don said, "Son, I gave you my daughter. You don't think I'd give you a wrench? If you have her, you have all things. And if we have him, we have all things." Verse 6 says, "To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." What have we? Acceptance in the beloved. Total acceptance with the Father. He said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." They will be accepted. Verse 7, he said, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." In him, what do we have? We have forgiveness through his blood. We have forgiveness poured all over our sin in the blood of God's holy lamb that was slain. I'll tell you this, we don't want to try to fix our sin. We don't want to try to do that. We do not want to go meet God trying to fix, right all of our wrongs. We do not want to go meet God trying to make our own covering like Adam and Eve did. They sewed some fig leaves together. God cursed the fig tree. And that's how we'll go before the judge if we try to go covering our own sin. This is what we want. We want the Lord Jesus Christ to literally pour his blood all over us, all over our sin, all over everything that we are, so that when God the Father looks at us, he says, "When I see the blood, and I know that judgment and death and justice has come here, I'll pass over you." That's the only hope that we have. In that we have redemption to eternal life. That is the difference he made. That's the difference he made. It's the difference of eternal death and eternal life. So, who maketh thee to differ? The Lord Jesus Christ does. And what hast thou? What do we have because of this difference he made? All things in him. Every good and perfect thing. Absolute total redemption. Everything we fell from. Total redemption. Complete forgiveness. Total redemption with the Father in him. All right, now, how did we get all this? Go back to 1 Corinthians 4. How did all of this come to us? How did all of this favor from the Father and mercy from the Son? Did we earn it? Did we earn this? Did we work for this? This salvation that we have been given in Christ, did we do anything to make ourselves worthy or deserving of it in any way? Here's the answer. No. No, we did not. How did his goodness come to us? Verse 7 says, "For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive?" What hast thou that thou didst not receive? We freely received it. How does this come to a sinner? It's freely received. Let me show you something in Matthew 13. Turn with me over there. Matthew 13, verse 10. The disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. There's a difference there. This thing is given. It is given. It is not earned. It is freely given. Salvation is freely given. Life is freely given. Grace is freely given. Mercy there was great. Grace was free. Free gift. Look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 3, it says, But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God shines and God gives. That's how it comes. God shines and God gives. You can turn with me if you want to, or I can read 2 Timothy 1. 2 Timothy 1, verses 6 through 9. It says, Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So who made us to differ? Christ did. What do we have in him? What do we not have in him? We have all things in him, every soul redeeming thing that our salvation requires. How did we get it? We freely received it. He freely gave it to us. All right, here's the last question. Last question Paul asked in the text. Go back with me to 1 Corinthians 4. Look at the end of verse 7. He said, Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? If we have received this glorious salvation from our God, if we have, if we are among the ones who he chose to put a difference in, And if we're among the ones who He chose to give Himself for and chose to die for and to put away our sin, if we're counted among the ones that He has revealed grace to, not works, but grace to and mercy to, if we have received this glorious salvation, why would we glory in it as though we had not received it? We wouldn't. We won't. Not if we have received it. If we have received it, we won't. We will not glory in the work and the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. We will cry, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If any man glory, let him glory in the Lord. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. First Thessalonians 1, verse 4 says, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. He said, we know your election. We know God chose you, chose to have mercy on you. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. He said, we know the grace of God that has been shown to you, because when the gospel came, it didn't come in word only. It came in power, and you bowed to it. And you turned from the idol of yourself. We read about men worshiping idols and we think, well, people really don't do that anymore. Oh, but they do. We bow down to this idol right here. We worship this idol. We glorify this idol. When the gospel comes in its power to God's people, He turns them. Turn us and we'll be turned. We don't turn ourselves. He turns us. But He turns us from our idols to the true and living God. And we bow to Him. We bow to Him and we worship Jesus Christ, our sovereign Lord and Savior. He said in John 6:45, they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh to me. All of them. All of them. And we do. We do, don't we? The commandment is come from the Scripture. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our response is gladly. Gladly to the one who made a difference for us and gave all for us freely. Gladly. We gladly come. Now, I'm done. I'll close with this. Last one, I promise. But we got to read this. This is a wonderful benediction to close with. Go to Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9. This is wonderful. May the Lord open our eyes and hearts to this right here. Jeremiah 9, verse 23, it says, Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. That's beautiful, isn't it? If any man's going to glory, let him glory in this, that you know me, and that I'm delighted to do these things. And we do glory in that, don't we? We glory in what he said he is so delighted to do for his people. What amazing grace it really is. All right, amen. Brother Eddie, you come and lead us in a closing hymn.